Random House Audiobooks presents Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Star by Star by Troy Denning. Read for you by Alexander Adams. The dark sliver of a distant starliner crept into view, a blue needle of ion efflux pushing it across the immense sweep of a brilliant orange sun. Like a million such suns in the core region alone, this one lacked any world with a civilization or even a sapient species, and it was too inconsequential for any name except an obsolete Imperial survey number. With so much emptiness, so many planets untouched, it seemed to Jaina Solo that there should have been no need for fighting, that there should have been room for all. But comfort was always easier to steal than to earn, peace easier to break than to keep, as her mother so often said. And so the Yuuzhan Vong had invaded a galaxy that might have welcomed them with open arms. It was a mistake the aliens had yet to understand, but one day, Jaina knew, one day the Jedi would teach them. Jaina's reverie was interrupted by a sudden sense of deep disquiet. An unexpected stirring in the Force that soon built to a strange feeling of frenzy. She opened herself to it further and experienced an instant of terrible longings and ravenous hunger, not quite evil, but dark and feral, and brutal enough to make her gasp and withdraw from its touch. Catching a glimmer of movement in the canopy reflections, Jaina glanced at an activation reticle in the front of the Jade Shadow's cockpit. A small section of plexalloy opaqued into a mirror, and she saw the willowy form of Mara Jade Skywalker slipping onto the flight deck. Mara's cascade of red-gold hair was a tangle of sleep snarls, but her complexion was no longer quite so ashen, nor her green eyes quite so sunken. Jaina stood and, feeling a little like a child caught with her hand under the candy dropper, turned to vacate the pilot station. Mara waved her down. "Sit, you're entitled." She dropped into the navigator's chair, sweetening the filter-scrubbed air with a hint of talc and steracleen that seemed to cling to her even with her new baby thousands of light-years away. She lifted her chin toward the distant starliner. "That are two troublemakers?" "The transponder identifies it as the Nebula Chaser," Jaina said. R2-D2 plugged into the droid station and confirmed the identity with a chirp. "But there's been no rendezvous signal, and a moment ago I felt something... strange in the Force." Mara nodded. "It's still there, but I don't think it's our passengers. It doesn't feel right." "Nothing feels right about this," Jaina said. A 1,000-meter Corellian cruiser with a customized Horsch Kessel sublight drive, the Nebula Chaser had already traversed half the face of the orange sun. It was now the size of Jaina's finger, with a blue efflux tail three times that long. "They still haven't signaled. Maybe we should give them one more orbit, then duck behind the planet and blow ions." Mara shook her head. "Luke's right about these two. They're getting people killed with their saber flashing. We'd better snag them while they need the ride." She pulled her crash webbing over her shoulders and clipped the buckle. "But let's be ready. Power up." Jaina reached over to toggle the ion drives active, but stopped when R2-D2 whistled an alarm. The heads-up display hollow contorted through a maddening array of colors and shapes, then settled on the image of a tiny tube-shaped craft swinging toward them well beneath the luminous haze of the sun's orange corona. "That explains their silence," Mara said. Jaina whistled softly and glanced through the tinted canopy, where the new arrival's speckish silhouette was streaking up behind the Nebula Chaser. "Looks like a frigate analog," Jaina said. "What do you want to do?" "The only thing we can." There was a note of caution in Mara's voice that would have seemed foreign to her before Ben's arrival. damp down all systems and wait. On board the Nebula Chaser, the RAR sisters stood shoulder to shoulder in front of the off-bridge vid console in Captain Pollux's private quarters. Their long headtails, Leku, writhed nervously as they watched a large piece of Yorick coral detach from the frigate and start toward the Nebula Chaser. Pocked and lumpy, the smaller craft looked more like a mined-out asteroid than a boarding skiff, but the sensor displays showed the heat signatures of at least 100 warriors inside. There was also some other creature, larger and colder, but the sisters needed no sensor readings to know this. When they reached out with the Force, they could feel the same hungry presence that had touched them as the frigate appeared from behind the sun. Whatever the Yuuzhan Vong were bringing across, it was attuned to their galaxy in a way its masters would never be. Alima isolated the creature's heat signature and asked the computer to find a match, then turned to see Numa already at the captain's bunk laying out their disguises. A pair of diaphanous dancing shifts, some face paint, and not much else. Having spent the last year leading a fierce resistance movement on the occupied world of New Plimpto, the sisters were certainly the object of the boarding party's search. Fortunately, their enemy would be searching for a single human woman instead of two Twi'lek dancing girls. In their role as the resistance leader, they had taken the precaution of never appearing together and always in disguise, with their Leku hidden beneath the cowl of a Jedi robe. By the time the sisters changed out of their jumpsuits and returned to the vid console, the Yuuzhan Vong were disembarking in the docking bay. With bald, sloping brows and saggy eyes rimmed underneath by drooping blue membranes, they were half a head taller than a typical human, and much heavier. Their brutal faces had been reshaped into leathery masks of disjoined cartilage and torn flesh, and their powerful bodies were adorned with religious tattoos and ritual disfigurements. Most wore shells of living Vonduan crab armor, and all carried the ubiquitous Yuuzhan Vong amphistaff, a serpent that could change on command into a razor-sharp polearm or poison-fanged whip. The most hideous of the warriors, a stoop-shouldered brute with only dark cavities where there should have been a nose, pushed arrogantly past the guards surrounding Captain Pollux.
"You have Jedi aboard?"
"No," Pollux lied smoothly. "Is that why you stopped us?" The warrior ignored the captain's question.
"You come from Tarfaglio, or Sicoria?"
"You can't believe I would tell you that," Pollux said. "The last I heard, our whole galaxy was at war with you." The retort drew a grudging sneer of respect.
"We are only a picket ship, Captain, and you are carrying refugees. You have nothing to fear from us, provided you tell me now if you have Jedi among your passengers."
"We have none." Pollux did not look away when he answered, and his voice did not crack. Even civilian starship captains knew the Yuuzhan Vong were blind to the Force. "Feel free to search." The warrior cracked a smile.
"But I do, Captain, I do."
He glanced toward his boarding skiff and in his own language ordered,
"Duin Turvoxin."
A seam appeared near the back of the craft and began to open, the Yorick coral puckering outward like a set of pursed lips. A pair of yellow oval eyes appeared in the darkness, and Alima felt the hunger in the Force grow more distinct. Then, when the aperture had opened a half meter, an ebony streak shot from the portal and clattered to the deck in a ripple of darkness.
"Clouds of fire!"
Numa gasped. The creature, the Voxen, Alima guessed from what she had learned of the Yuuzhan Vong language, began to pad around the deck on eight bandy legs. Though it stood no higher than a human waist, it was more than 4 meters long, with a flattish head and an undulating body covered in black scales. A line of coarse sensory bristles ran down its spine, and a white barb protruded from its flickering whip of a tail. The beast circled the captain and his wary guards only once, then went off toward the rear of the docking bay. In the vidscreen, Pollux fixed his gaze on the Yuuzhan Vong warrior. "Why have you brought that thing on my ship?" The warrior knocked Pollux to the deck with a backhand slap.
"You can't believe I would tell you that," he laughed.
Though Pollux's guards did not appear in danger of attacking, the captain...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?